IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Welcome to the IL Women Podcast. I am Inside Lacrosse Editor-in-Chief Matt Kinnear, here with our women's editor, Hallie Quillenen-Griggs. Hallie, we are just coming off of a special issue of Inside Lacrosse Magazine, the November issue, which we've titled The Adversity Issue, a great cover story that you worked on, Noelle Lambert at UMass Lowell, how she's kind of weathered through a very tragic incident where she lost her leg in a moped, and has been practicing with the team and been a source of inspiration for this team. Hallie, as we were kind of getting near the transmit of this issue, you said it was your favorite issue that you've been a part of. You know, now that we're kind of a few weeks out, what's your perspective on the way this issue came together?
It's kind of crazy because I feel like when you and I had this discussion about the November issue being our adversity issue, it wasn't that long ago, but now flash forward the work that we've done, the interviews we've had, the miles we've logged to put this issue to print, it seems like it's been a while. But really, I think that each and every story inside of this magazine was just a very special one. And I think stringing them together the way that we have in this November issue, I'm not sure I've been a part of an issue that we have really just felt so proud to put out there and also received such incredible feedback on. And I think that that's really just a tribute to the people we featured in this magazine and, of course, their willingness to have their story told and in the candid nature in which they told their story. You know, certainly Noelle Lambert, this was a story that last year in the news, we covered her moped accident. We covered her returning to campus and returning to the team. And of course, as a journalist and as the women's editor for Inside Lacrosse, this was a story that I wanted to do for quite some time. But of course, you know, in respect to her and respect to everyone in the UMass Lowell family, I think this is a story that had to be done at the right time. And of course, that was when, you know, she really figured out who she was going to be in the wake of this accident. And I think that that's pretty remarkable. A year removed. And Jackie and I had a wonderful time up there with the UMass Lowell staff and the players and, of course, Noelle and Kelly. And I think that the candid approach in which Noelle took in her interview with me and kind of in the photo shoot with Jackie, you can see and you can really get a feel for the person that she is in the pages of this issue and in that feature.
First off, the cover of this magazine, you know, her standing with her prosthetic leg on the cover of the issue, you know, standing so proud, so assertive, it's really a powerful image. And the stuff that Jackie captured when you guys went up there for the day and observed a practice and did this photo shoot really is some pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, Jackie and I made our way up to Lowell and we got a little turned around. We certainly got a bit lost on the way to the photo shoot. And thankfully, Kelly Moran, you know, she kind of found us in the hallway, brought us to their indoor turf facility at UMass Lowell. And immediately when we walked through the door to this indoor facility, Noelle was cracking jokes and she was laughing and she was doing like the air guitar with her prosthetic. And she just, the tone that she set from the start of that shoot, let alone of our interview, when she's on the practice field, you know, I think that she's just such a positive, outgoing, really hysterical personality. And that was something that really stopped me in my tracks, because when you think of what this young girl has gone through, you know, she's in a moped accident on Martha's Vineyard and loses her leg on the scene. The peace of mind that she has a year removed from such tragedy is unlike anything that I've ever seen. And, you know, I wrote this in my letter to the editor. You know, she, over the course of spending 10 minutes with her, let alone 3 to 4 hours, like Jackie and I did, it just puts your own personal struggles in perspective. And it's truly that, you know, not to be so cliche, but that motivation that, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, she's just such an inspiration being around her. You know, I don't think as a 29-year-old woman, I could ever have the peace of mind in the wake of what she's gone through. But I'll tell you what, I certainly would try. I think that she just sets such a wonderful example for people going through any struggle. And it was really just an honor to tell her story.
Yeah, it really is an incredible story. The thing that really struck me is the anecdote about, you know, her in the hospital and talking with her coach, you know, as her coach kind of meets her in the hospital after this all happens. And Noelle's first question is, am I still on the team? And her coach's answer, you are the team. That really meant a lot. And just kind of through the pages of what you wrote, and I'm sure what you witnessed firsthand, her spirit kind of permeates the rest of the team in such a positive way, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when Coach Madeiro said that to me, she was getting choked up. And I think what really sums this up is in her mindset and her dedication. You know, I think that what can be lost in this big personality is the incredible work ethic and the behind-the-scenes grit that Noelle has shown to take the reins of the life that she once had and make sure it's still on course. And, you know, I think that, you know, the way the feature opened, which was actually your suggestion, after I had this conversation and, you know, was that run test, you know, returning to campus her junior year, running with a prosthetic leg that she had to get used to. You know, this was her running leg that she was using, that she calls quote unquote her leg, her running leg, that she didn't even start using until about 5 to 6 months after that accident. So, you know, she's 5 to 6 months in using this prosthetic and she passes a run test that she couldn't complete her freshman year full able body. And Coach Madeiro said, you know, as emotional as that was, it was so inspirational and what a motivating factor for her teammates. You know, I think that's what really embodies this story, you know, the personality, but the determination for her to make sure that she continued her life on her own terms.
I love the reaction that the story has been getting, you know, since we posted it on the website and since people have seen the cover and the photos that you guys captured. You know, I'm really happy that people have kind of grasp this story and seen some inspiration in it. You know, for us, when we were choosing, you know, what do you put on the November issue of the magazine, it's kind of a difficult one for us here at Inside Lacrosse, just given the seasonality of what we do. You know, we could always put, you know, one of the top 10 D1 programs and what they're doing in the fall on the cover. But really, I think we all kind of, once this idea coalesced and the opportunity to go see her practice and take some photos and interact with her, once that kind of all came into the picture, which was pretty late in the process, you know, I think it was pretty much a no-brainer for all of us. Like, this story is going to mean something to a lot of people. This story is going to inspire people. And if we can do that, I mean, that's much more important than any other story that we can put on the pages of Inside Lacrosse magazine. What have you seen from people who have read this story, some of the reaction that you have received from the lacrosse community?
You know, immediately, right away, when we promoted this issue's cover, just an outpouring of support. You know, I think that a lot of people, when they read all of the stories in this magazine, they're motivated. You know, talk about the word adversity. You know, it's what have these subjects done in the face of tragedy, of hearing that the way they've lived their life is going to be changed drastically, whether it was through disease, through illness, through injury, through, you know, just looking adversity in the face. You know, I really just don't even know how to begin. So many of the conversations that we've all had within these stories that we've worked on, they're not conversations we have every day at Inside Lacrosse. So I do think pinpointing, you know, who do we put on the cover, was a difficult one. When these images of Noelle, I just think that it represents what this issue is, this strong girl. And, you know, I really, what was so special about Noelle was the personality in which she took these pictures too. I mean, I think when you flip inside the pages, you don't even see, I mean, Jackie has so many pictures where she's joking around and she has this mindset. So I think it was just such a special issue to be a part of. And I think when people are flipping through the pages and they're reading these stories on our website, they see that and they appreciate that. This is certainly a different issue than we've really ever put out. And it's been nice to hear such wonderful feedback, whether it's from the college coaching community, our youth community, parents, current players. We've just received so much support. And it really is a testament, once again, to those people that we've featured for being so open, so candid with their stories and allowing us to tell them.
Yeah, Hallie, and that's, you know, that was kind of one of my big takeaways is your ability to have a conversation with the subjects in this magazine and get them to open up and share their story. That segues nicely into the other big feature in this magazine about Kirsten Kimmel and her battle with cancer and everything that she's accomplished in the wake of that. But for both of these, for Noelle and for Coach Kimmel, can you talk a little bit about your approach? You're asking someone to share something that's extremely personal, that is extremely emotional, is something that we can't really expect them to open up just because we want to put them in a magazine. You know, there's really a lot that goes into such a personal conversation. Can you talk about how you approach talking with Noelle and also with Coach Kimmel?
Yeah, you know, I think that these were two interviews. I've been in this position for a good deal now, almost 4 years. And I don't think I've ever been so nervous for an interview for a magazine, let alone two in back-to-back days. I think that with such personal stories, and there were so many personal stories, and obviously we'll get into some of the ones that you were involved in shortly, but with such a personal story, I think as a writer, as an editor, you want to make sure you tell it perfectly. And it's something that person would be proud of having out there. So I think there was a lot of pressure to do that. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. And I think with these stories, one thing that we tried to tell these subjects was, this is your story. And we want to make sure you're comfortable with what's out there. I think it was important in these interview processes not to pry and really just make it a conversation and less of an interview. And that's really something that I have to credit Kirsten Kimmel and, of course, Noelle Lambert. They were just so open and candid in their conversations. And I will say, Kirsten Kimmel, battling cancer, and Noelle in the face of what happened in that accident and learning how to work through multiple prosthetics and in the wake of amputation, the candid approach in which they took the conversation, and it really wasn't me, it was the two of them, it was courageous. I think that telling your story sometimes is so hard when it's such a personal story. But because of that, and because they did that, I think that there are a lot of readers in this magazine that they don't even know that they've touched. One thing that Kirsten Kimmel told me was when her battle with cancer became public, she was overwhelmed with how many people came forward and spoke to her about, they had once had that same diagnosis and battled breast cancer. They had a family member who had, a friend who had. She said, it was so overwhelming how many people had been affected by what I was going through. And so I think that really in her answers and in the story featuring her battle and what she did in the wake of her battle, I think that that's why she was so candid. I think, one thing that really sticks out with me when I was interviewing her was, she said, she's a mom, she's a coach, she's constantly been in the position of, she's been the caregiver. And she said, at first it was really uncomfortable allowing people to take care of me, but that was something that I needed to come to terms with because I needed someone to take care of me. I needed people to help me through this. And I think that her honesty and certainly Noelle's honesty about their struggles really shined a light on their bravery. And I think we can say for everyone that we featured in this magazine, it wouldn't be what it turned out to be without just overall their honesty throughout these interviews.
Definitely. And Coach Kimmel, especially, you know, I know she didn't want to take the attention away from her team, you know, while they were going to championship weekend that year. And she didn't want to, you know, make it about her. You know, the thing that's really inspiring to me is that she used this platform as a way to inspire others, not to just get attention to herself. Just a really strong person and incredible stuff in this story. You know, this quote, you know, "What could be better to take your mind off of having poison pumped through your arms than sitting there watching film and getting ready for a game?" There's a common thread throughout everything in this issue. It's the adversity issue, and these people were extremely strong. You know, Noel and Coach Kimmel, extremely strong women who have fought unthinkable odds here. But there's a theme of kind of the therapeutic nature of lacrosse and the lacrosse community throughout this. You see it a lot in Coach Kimmel's story, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that what also is so remarkable about her story is, you know, she mentioned when she told her team and when word got out through the Duke lacrosse community, she had received an outpouring of support. But once her story became public, she received so many emails, phone calls, text messages from coaches, players, former opponents, offering support. And she said, you know, the first email I got outside of the Duke lacrosse community was from Joe Spallina. And she said, and you know, I don't really have that much of a personal relationship with him. But I think that right there, that just symbolizes how much of a family the lacrosse community is. I mean, we all joke around the lacrosse community is so small. But I think in times like these, the way that the lacrosse community does act like a family, and certainly Coach Kimmel, you know, she used that as an example. I think that was something that was really unique to see, the support within the community. I mean, Noelle Lambert said, you know, "I would not have gotten through what I got through without my friends, my family, my team, my coaches." You know, she received an outpouring of support from Boston Marathon survivors. But I think what was so neat was, you know, both of the interviewees that I spoke with in this issue, they credited the support that they received, and much of that support came from within the lacrosse community, which was pretty awesome.
This issue also features your first letter from the editor. You know, this was such a personal issue for you that it made sense for you to kind of write the opening to, you know, that basically explains, you know, why we've done this issue and some of the backstory behind the feature subjects. What was that process like for you, and what did you try to get across in that short, you know, 700 words or so to start the issue?
My goodness, nerve-wracking. I don't know how you do it every month. It was, when you asked me to write this letter, I felt so honored. You know, I do. I really feel like I had a strong tie to this magazine. So whenever I flip through it in the weeks, months, years to come, I'm very happy that my letter to the editor will be in the front section of this magazine as readers make their way through. You know, really, I think that there is something so unique about being able to put your story out there, and it's something that we don't get to do very often, but to be able to put my story out there to show what this issue meant to me, and really just to thank Kirsten Kimmel and Noelle Lambert for allowing me to tell their stories. That was really the most important part of this letter. You know, I said both of them were motivation beyond measure. And I truly mean that. And their stories were two of the most incredible experiences for me to be a part of, to be able to sit down and have a lengthy conversation with Coach Kimmel, and a day later travel to UMass Lowell and spend the day with Noelle Lambert, Kelly Moran, Coach Medeiros, the UMass Lowell team. Such a learning experience and such an incredibly gratifying but motivational and inspiring experience for me. And it was very nice to somewhat summarize that in this month's letter from the editor.
Yeah, it's interesting for us. You know, we are, especially since, you know, Hallie, yourself as a former player, and, you know, I've been working at Inside the Cross for a good chunk of my professional life now, you know, being here for something like going on 7 years, you know, we've kind of become part of this community. Our friends are within the lacrosse community. So when there's, you know, something that kind of affects the community at whole, you know, I think to some extent we feel it as well. And you know, we're kind of a lot of the subjects that we talk about in these magazines, you know, we have friendships with them, or, you know, we're friends with their friends. It's a very close, tight-knit community. And that's what makes it a lot of fun sometimes. It's just being able to kind of expose the good things that are a part of this community that we've kind of made our home community as well. Looking further into the issue, Jeff Shannon wrote a great piece about Rutgers and their two-star players who were kind of returning from injury, Christian Trazzolini and Adam Chirilambidis. You know, this is more of an on-field adversity with Rutgers kind of being the snub from the NCAA tournament for the past few years and dealing with these injuries. But again, there's similar themes in the sense that they had a Rutgers community around them, these two players, that really helped inspire them to get back to the team, to make themselves better than they were before they even left for injury. You know, they talk about just the trainers, the coaching staff, how it's one big family and how much that kind of helped push them along and helped push them through and want to accomplish something, not just for themselves, but for the greater good. And for myself personally, you know, I've really enjoyed doing the story on Tim Rotans that we have in this issue. It's about his battle with vertigo, which the one thing that kind of carries through is how time gives these folks, you know, such good perspective. You know, Hallie Noel, this is a year after her accident. You know, for Coach Kimmel, it's a few years removed from her diagnosis. For Tim, it's a few years removed from his, you know, kind of battle with vertigo. And I think that time that we kind of gave these subjects to have some life experience and to kind of put everything in perspective really made these stories better. With Tim, you know, vertigo is one of those things that, you know, does anyone really know what vertigo is outside of someone who's personally experienced it? And he said that was one of the hardest, you know, parts for it, is that he would tell people, oh, I have vertigo. And they would, you know, it's not they wouldn't believe him. They just wouldn't understand him. He didn't really have someone, you know, kind of in the fight with him. You know, obviously everyone at the University of Maryland was incredible, but there was just no one who knew exactly what he was going through. And that's kind of true for everyone here, is, you know, you can't really put yourself in someone else's head. But we're so blessed to just have these people around us who help us along the way. So for me, and I'm sure for you, Hallie, and I'll let you speak to this, it was kind of rewarding just for the sense of we got to spotlight something in this community that is so special to us in a positive light.
Absolutely. And I think what was so special, you know, certainly the two stories that I was involved in, and you haven't mentioned one that you've been involved in, and I'll talk to that soon. I feel like there's almost a story for everyone in here, which, you know, I think is very unique. And one thing that Tim said, you know, he struggled because people didn't know what he was going through. And I mean, I can tell you that people are flipping through the pages of this magazine and reading his story who do deal with vertigo. And I think that that's what's so unique and what's so great about this issue. Certainly for all of us, it was wonderful to be a part of. But for our readers, you know, the readers that our subjects are touching, that they don't even know, that's what's really the incredible part and what was really gratifying of putting this together. And I would encourage, you know, for those readers that have been touched by the stories that we've written, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to connect you with these subjects. And I think it's very important, especially when your personal story is out there and it is so personal. If it has affected you, I think that that's exactly what these subjects would love to hear from people who they have helped and helped motivate. And, you know, Matt's certainly a special story for you, that trip up to Delaware you took.
Yeah, that was an interesting story. You know, the story that's in the magazine is a little bit more about the program, you know, of the University of Delaware and one that's kind of looking to get some success after a few lean years with a new head coach. But kind of within that story is the story of Coach Ben DeLuca. You know, he was let go at Cornell, the circumstances of which are a little spotty, but, you know, basically if you talk to most people in the industry, he's an extremely well-respected coach, you know, that everyone was shocked to see him go from one of these historic storied programs at Cornell. And it took him some time to get back on his feet to become a head coach again. And, you know, this is his passion in his life is being a head coach. So for him, he had to kind of go through his own adversity in this path to this job at Delaware. That included, you know, after he was let go at Cornell, he didn't have a job, and then Duke came calling, and he was offered a volunteer assistant position, you know, not a lot of pay. He had to leave his family up in Ithaca, take a really tiny apartment down in Durham, and he basically just kind of was the guy who worked 24 hours a day to help Duke get a national championship that year. You know, and really through that adversity, you know, the thing that really struck me was obviously how prepared and detail-oriented Coach DeLuca is, but through that process of kind of going back to the volunteer assistant position, and then he went to Harvard where he was, you know, a full-time assistant and had some stops with the U.S. team. But he said, to be a good leader, you need to learn to be a good follower. And that's what he did under Coach John Donowski there at Duke. You know, he really kind of went back to square one and used it as a learning experience. You know, he wasn't sorry for himself. He didn't mope about it. He got better as a coach by going back to the start of this process. And I think that's something that's really interesting, being able to take a negative and turn it into a positive. And that's what all these people in this issue have done. Delaware on the field, you know, I certainly think that they're going to make some strides with his detail-oriented approach and all of the things that he's learned along the way there. And I got to sit down and, you know, I think we did an hour interview in his office before this issue went to press. And I also watched a practice that Delaware was running too. So, you know, great to hear him, one of the good guys in the game, getting another head coaching position, another shot at doing what he loves. So this issue is just kind of full of this stuff, and I'm really proud of it. You know, Hallie, we got a lot of good stuff coming, but, you know, sometimes it's just fun to not talk about X's and O's and you know, which team is beating which, and kind of take a different, you know, broader view of things, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think that what sums up this issue is, you know, this issue, while its common theme is, of course, lacrosse, it's not about lacrosse, which was such a special issue to be a part of. And I think that, you know, one, for everyone who's involved, we just really enjoyed, you know, taking a step back and certainly writing the stories that we don't necessarily have the opportunity to write every day. And, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record. You know, certainly a huge thanks goes out to each and everyone involved, allowing us to tell their stories. I can speak for the entire IL team, you know, not just Matt and I. We really enjoyed it. It was certainly something different for us and something that, you know, we'd like to do more often moving forward. And I just thought that to have all of these stories following one after the other in one magazine, it's a powerful issue.
It definitely is. And kind of like you said earlier, please reach out to us if you're some way affected by this, or if you have, you know, a story that's similar, or just want to share anything, because, you know, those are the things that we love doing. You know, I don't think anyone got in here, you know, there are some people who are more analytical and stuff, but I think most of us, we got into this to tell stories and to affect people. And that's what we got to do with this issue. So I'm really proud of it. Hallie, you know, this was a lot of hard work for you for this issue. This was you wrote a lot of words in a very short time period. Are you able to kind of rest up now after that?
It's certainly been quite the whirlwind. You know, that was it was definitely an expansive issue to be a part of. And right now, I think just, you know, shifting gears, obviously, just very excited to get these stories up on our site and to get more eyes on these stories. Shifting gear towards fall ball, right? That's kind of what we've been doing, true fall ball. And we'll be visiting some of the nation's, you know, most exciting programs heading into the 2018 season. How do Navy and BC follow their Cinderella story seasons up? And, you know, how do reigning champs reload? What's going down in the North Carolina Triangle area with Duke, Elon, and UNC? That's what we'll be moving forward towards in the next few weeks. So keep an eye out on IL Women.
Definitely fall ball, and then that gets into face-off yearbook for us. Then we get to the holidays, and before you know it, we are starting another season. I can't believe it is almost here. Hallie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for everything you put into this last issue. And, you know, everyone who's out there listening, really, we hope you pick this one up. You know, there's a subscribe link in the top right corner of our website. Go to that. Please pick up one of these. If you subscribe, we'll send you this current issue as well. Read the stories that are going to be published online.
The source.
We're very proud of it. And thank you so much for listening.